Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of The Nathan Graves Show, starring me, your host, Nathan Graves. And this week, I have with me the news director of ScrewAttack.com, Sean Hines.
Hey, what's going on, Nathan? Pleasure to be here.
Now, for the few people at home that don't know who you are, at least the people who don't visit ScrewAttack, why don't you tell a little something about yourself?
Well, I am the news director for ScrewAttack.com. Basically, what that means is I kind of manage and promote the content from the G1 community. And I kind of work with, you know, all the publishers and developers to get the latest information about their upcoming games and attending events and stuff like that.
Now, how did you get started at ScrewAttack?
I got started basically because of who I knew or who knew me. It's a big part of any business is kind of who you know. And Brian Baker, our community manager and all things production, was actually living with my brother at the time at a house that I own. And so I had known Brian for a year or two and had been kind of freelancing on my own. And Brian heard around the office that there was an opportunity, recommended me for the position. An interview later, I was news director for ScrewAttack.
Now, did you know about ScrewAttack beforehand, and did you know what you were getting into?
Kind of. I had an outsider's kind of view of ScrewAttack. I was only a G1 in the sense that I'd, you know, enjoyed the content from time to time, but I wasn't a fevered fan or anything. I did attend SGC in 2009. It was like one of the first events that I kind of covered as a freelance writer for the video game industry. And, you know, I enjoyed watching Death Battle and a couple of the other shows on the site, like the top 10 on game trailers.
What's a work day like for the news director?
A work day for a news director. I mean, this, you know, my job is a little different than probably, say, the news director of a joystick or, you know, even a Destructoid. But basically, you know, I get in pretty early. I'm usually in about 7 a.m. And I essentially am responsible for the promotion of between 16 and 18 pieces of content on the site. And I usually create between 6 and 8 of those pieces myself. So the other 10 come from, you know, community members who either want to share editorial or news-related information about video games and sometimes otherwise on our site. And then kind of from there, I just manage the flow of, you know, all these articles as they go up throughout the day, making sure, you know, comments are, you know, being moderated and that kind of thing. And then in between, you know, promoting all this content, I'm checking email and working with the guys around the office on the various shows that they have. I like to think of myself as more of a support role for a lot of the staff members here because, you know, they all have their own shows that they've already, you know, been working on or are just now creating. And I'm not really here to be a personality on video as much as I am supposed to be a personality in the blog space. So with the video stuff, I just spend more time, like, you know, helping them write or come up with ideas for Clip of the Week or Death Battle and stuff. But, you know, it's mostly in the support role.
When you were hired, were you told that you were going to be doing acting, like, for Clip of the Week and such?
No, actually, if I recall, when Lauren and I were hired, we were kind of, at least the general understanding around the office was that we were being hired specifically for blogging and news and, like, existing in that space. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, we each almost, within days of us being hired, had opportunities to kind of get on video. Like, I had a chicken nugget eating contest with Craig's brother, so that kind of propelled me instantly to a video on the site because they love eating contests, our community does. And then, you know, they did, like, Lauren and I each had, like, a, like, we were interviewed. Like, I had an interview with Craig, and obviously these were kind of mock, like, silly things. and Lauren had two interviews with Brad in the recording closet. So yeah, I mean, the idea that we would only exist in the written space of Screw Attack was kind of thrown out the window within a week of us both being there.
Now, what's your relationship like with the other members of Screw Attack?
I mean, we're just, you know, we're colleagues and friends, and we enjoy hanging out and playing video games and talking about video games. I mean, Ben and I were just having a nice discussion about Mass Effect because those guys are planning to play through all the Mass Effect games on Screwing Around, and I'm a big fan of the Mass Effect trilogy, so we were just talking about like what DLC they were going to be playing and that kind of stuff. But yeah, I mean, you know, Craig very much likes to instill the ideas in all the staff members that we're all part of a family, and I think that's translated by how, you know, we work together and stuff like that, you know.
Right. Now, since we are on ScrewAttack.com, let's talk video games.
All right, I like video games.
Now, what is the first video game you remember playing?
Oh, man. It was either PC or Atari. My dad has always been a PC gamer. He still is to this day. So a lot of what I was raised on was PC gaming. But he also had an Atari 2600 from college. So I can remember, you know, down in the basement playing a bunch of Atari games as a kid and, you know, Windows 3.1 playing Tex Adventures and, you know, ridiculous stuff like that. But I don't know if I can actually, like, I know the first console game I played was, you know, Super Mario Brothers, and it was on a Nintendo at my babysitter's house when I was like 7. And then I kind of got bit from there, and the first console I ever owned was an SNES, so.
What can you say is your favorite video game?
Oh, man. You know, right now I'm really into the Assassin's Creed franchise. But if I had to, like, tout my favorite video game of all time, I mean, you really can't beat Super Mario World. Yeah, Super Mario World. That is kind of like the epitome of the platformer, in my opinion. And there's been lots of other great Mario games, and I'm sure there will continue to be great Mario games. But, you know, you really got to give it to Nintendo for coming up with such an iconic character.
Now, what are video games that you just don't like?
You know, I am not a big fan of point-and-click adventures. And I've played through my fair share of them. I enjoy the Sam and Max series. I've played through some of the Monkey Island stuff that came out recently for Wii. And I am playing through Walking Dead right now. I think Telltale really has a way with kind of bridging the gap between, you know, the fevered fan of point-and-click adventures and kind of a casual gamer that may not really enjoy those games but is interested in the story that they're telling. But generally, yeah, they're too slow. Sometimes the puzzles kick my butt. And I don't know, like, I didn't really like the Back to the Future ones, you know? Like, I love that franchise. I think that there, you know, some great stuff about that franchise, but I could not get into the games for the life of me.
And I hear some backlash coming from some people. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm sure. No, I bet.
Well, I never played the Back to the Future games, and I never seen the movies either, to be honest.
Oh. Oh, sir. You must go watch the first two. The third one, it's okay, but, man, those first two. It's classic 80s.
What are your favorite genre of games?
You know, I personally, I'm big into action games. So, you know, I know that spans a lot of different genres. But specifically, I really enjoy games like Ninja Gaiden, God of War. Recently, I'm about to wrap up Darksiders 2, and that game is incredible. I also like open world stuff, so GTA and Assassin's Creed. And then, really, I play just about anything I can get my hands on. That's the thing I probably love most about games, is that I don't ever feel like, I might have genres that are my favorite, but I like to play anything that's a video game, pretty much. So, like, it's really hard for me to pin it down to one type of thing.
What got you into writing for video games? Well, for video game news, rather.
Well, it's a weird story. A good friend of mine, basically, you know, prior to my video game experience in the industry, I was an analyst for a transportation company. And I've always loved video games. You know, again, part of it's just my upbringing. Part of it is, I don't know, I enjoy the escape I get from them in some ways. Like, I get to go on, I've been on hundreds of adventures, that kind of idea. But I was just telling my friend about Brotherhood, Assassin's Creed Brotherhood. It may actually have been Assassin's Creed 2. But he just, after my 15-minute gush fest over how much fun I was having, he's like, man, you should just sell video games for a living, because you pretty much have convinced me to buy this. And I kind of got the idea. I was like, you know, why don't I just sell video games for a living? So I started looking into kind of how all that stuff works, and went back to school, got a master's degree in marketing and public relations. During the entire postgraduate work, I was just freelance writing in a little corner of the internet. And really, I guess my first big break was through Bitmob. Before they got bought by VentureBeat, they were kind of, you know, an up-and-coming independent video game website where they were all about community content. And I had written, I don't know, probably 30 posts on their site and had a third of them promoted to the top page. And so I got some steam, I got some traction, and from there I just made the right contacts and landed a job at ScrewAttack.
Now, recently you went to PAX?
Yes.
Now, what was that like?
I thought PAX was the blast. I had never been to PAX before. Neither had I had been to E3, so I got to see kind of both sides of that. Because PAX is, you know, clearly it's for the public. It's for the fans of video games to kind of get a taste of what it's like, you know, and see all these new games coming out. And, you know, it's kind of funny, because for years I've always been like, oh, I want to go to E3 so bad. I want to see E3. I want to run around and just play every game at E3. And going to PAX, you know, the one thing I realized is that PAX is pretty much E3 these days. Like, although the booths are smaller and obviously the lines are longer, they were almost the exact same booths that were at E3, they were at PAX. And so, like, everything I missed from E3 this year, I got to play at PAX, which, you know, was great, because I feel like I've played just about everything now.
Was there anything that stuck out at PAX that you just can't wait for?
Well, game-wise?
Yeah.
I'm really excited about Assassin's Creed Liberation for my Vita, because I really need, like, I'm into Gravity Rush right now, but I'm almost done with that. And kind of after that, I might get the new Jet Set. But the next thing I'm looking forward to big time is getting my hands on the new Assassin's Creed. And that's October 30th, I think, is when it comes out.
Really, that soon?
Yeah, it's right around the corner. That was the first time I got to play. I was at PAX, so I'm like, and I mean, it's what you would expect it to be. You know, just an Assassin's Creed game, new universe, new character. But I'm excited.
I'm excited, too. Ever since I started playing Assassin's Creed 2, I couldn't wait for 3.
Yeah. I mean, Revelations was kind of more fluff than anything. I enjoyed the character development stuff. But yeah, Assassin's Creed 2 and Brotherhood just rocked my world. And yeah, 3 is going to be amazing, just from what I've seen. Haven't really heard of many people getting a chance to play that. All they had at PAX was the demonstration.
Are there any other upcoming video games that you can't wait to play?
Borderlands. I used to, when I, was still trying to make my way into the industry, Gearbox is here in Dallas, and they have a program where you can just basically go to their website and sign up to be a tester. And so I tested like 20 plus hours on the original Borderlands, and kind of, I don't know, like in my own way, I feel like I was a part of that game being developed. Like I got to give my feedback on what changes they could make, and I saw some of those changes as they happened, from what I had tested in the build, 6 months prior to the release. So yeah, just more Borderlands to me is like, I like loot driven stuff. I like the progress of it. And again, first person shooters, always, that's what my dad still plays to this day. He pretty much will only play a first person shooter or a racing game. And, so yeah, I got that on Steam coming September 18th, and it'll be me, my dad, and my brother, and a couple guys around Screw Attack. We all have PC copies coming in, so.
Nice. Now, you've been in quite a few Clip of the Weeks since you started at Screw Attack. Is there one in particular that stuck out to you that you have been a part of?
The J. Jonah Jameson one was a lot of fun. Especially because after that clip, I had to have dinner with the in-laws. Like, it was my mother-in-law and sister-in-law, her husband, and her husband's family were coming in town. And they all know me, so I thought it would be funny to show up to dinner as J. Jonah Jameson. And essentially, my wife's estranged uncle kind of showed up. And I hadn't seen him since we had been married, and so I'm dressed as J. Jonah Jameson. It just turned into like one of the funniest dinners I've ever had. And there's actually a pretty great video. My wife has a convertible, and it's me doing like 60, 70 down the highway with my hair just kind of like vibrating because, it was so teased. Like Lorna here at the office is the one who did the hair for that. She's really good at, I guess it's like, costumes or makeup, but yeah, that clip stands out in my mind. It probably will always stand out in my mind.
Well, I don't think in any other job you'd be able to say, "Hey, I dressed up as J. Jonah Jameson for work today."
Yeah, exactly. Like it's bizarro world, but it's great. So,
now, what are your favorite movies?
Ooh, let's see, favorite movies. It's really hard. Like, I'm less than I used to be, but I used to be just the biggest film buff. Like, I didn't watch any television shows or I didn't watch anything on TV except movies. And I was the type of person who could jump into the middle of the movie and be perfectly fine. A movie that kind of has everything. And this is probably because I'm such a nerd as well, but The Fifth Element to me is like the greatest space opera ever told. And, you have Bruce Willis being a badass, tons of explosions, all the action you can handle, crazy sci-fi, creatures in a really weird universe. But then you got Chris Tucker and like just the ridiculous comedy that comes from that. Like Luc Besson and the way he builds his worlds, like, I love The Fifth Element. I just think that's like almost the perfect balance of everything that you could want from a movie.
Now, what are some movies that you just loathe?
I don't know. Like, I'm not a huge fan of the parody stuff. Like, there was a time and place where movies like Airplane and The Naked Gun, like, that stuff was great. And then, like, Scary Movie, I guess, was okay. And those had their place, but It just has gotten to the point where I don't know who's making those films or what's going on there, but I just wish they would stop. Like, I don't need them in my life.
Now, this is something I've been wondering. I've been asking a couple friends about this. I've been complaining about how there would be some games in between numbered sequels, like with Assassin's Creed, with Brotherhood and Revelations, and then Assassin's Creed 3, and with Halo, there's Halo 3, ODST, then Reach.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you think that's really necessary? Because, sure, it would help storyline-wise, but are games like that really necessary?
I mean, you have to look at it from all things being pure, probably not. You know, ODST seemed like it could have honestly been DLC for 3. And, well, Reach has its place, and I think Reach is probably the best out of all of them, just from a complete, like, getting the Bungie experience. A lot of it it's a business thing, you know? It's like, there are franchises that can be annualized. Should they be? Maybe not. But they can be, and so they will be. And I think you're seeing that, especially with a game like Gears of War Judgment. Like, I felt like that trilogy was solid as a trilogy, and it told that story as much as it needed to be told. And I had no interest in playing Judgment. And I know that's not the case for a lot of fans out there. There's a lot of gearheads out there that are, you know, they're big into the Gears universe, and that's cool. But I really, like, I feel like that's a perfect example of that, like, that game is just not needed. Like, they ended the trilogy on a somber note. And, you know, that should be the end, but, you know, they want to take it back. They want to show Baird's side and how, you know, he breaks Marcus out of jail and stuff, and it's like, okay, well, whatever. I'm not interested.
And that's kind of the same thing with me with Halo, because I loved Halo. I love Halo 2. I love Halo 3. Interest was lost when ODST and Reach were announced, and even more so when they revealed Halo 4 at E3, when Halo 3 was supposed to be the last game of the trilogy. I even have a shirt that says, finish the fight.
Finish the fight.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that whole marketing campaign. Yeah. You know, Halo's not the guiltiest probably of all, but it certainly, it seems a little more because 343 kind of taking the reins from Bungie, and Bungie's like, we're done and moving on and that whole thing. But I don't know, like, Ben here in the office, he's not necessarily the biggest Halo fan, but when he got out of, and I haven't had a chance to play Halo 4 at all yet, but when Ben got out of the Halo 4 demo, he said he was really excited. And so to see somebody who really isn't invested in that universe come out and be like, yeah, this could be a really good game, it kind of makes me have hope that Halo 4, there'll be a place for it, you know?
Yeah.
But I am disappointed that they're bringing the Covenant back at all. Like, with him being frozen in space, they could have gone anywhere and done anything. And instead, I'm still going to be shooting grunts, elites, and jackals. And I'm just kind of like, okay, great.
Since we're talking about big franchises and such, are there any big franchises, like your Final Fantasies, your Call of Duties, that you think are just overrated?
Overrated, huh? I don't feel that way about most games. Honestly, with Call of Duty, I prefer those over Battlefield. And so when it comes time for me to make a choice, like, I've always purchased Modern Warfare. I think it's different design philosophies, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you look at Blizzard. Blizzard doesn't make great gameplay games. Like, all I do whenever I play a Blizzard game is click on things and watch them die. Like, but the way that Blizzard builds all these systems that manage all of those things, like, nothing can compete with WoW from an MMO perspective. StarCraft II is clearly the esports game to beat next to maybe League of Legends. And I still have a great time playing Diablo III. I know there's plenty of people out there that say it's too nerfed and broken and blah, blah, blah. But, man, between my wife and I, we've probably put in close to 100 hours on Diablo III. So clearly it doesn't suck. But, you know, it's nothing like God of War, like from a combat, like a feat, like feeling like, oh, I just did a 38 hit combo, you know, like you just don't really get that vibe from a Blizzard game, but they're still the best at what they do, you know?
Now, you mentioned League of Legends. Do you by any chance play any MOBA games like LoL?
You know, I've played a handful of matches of LoL. I played also Knots for like a week or two. And I probably will play some Smite before it's all, you know. But it's just, those games, it's such a commitment. You know, I mean, to really get into those games and to have a really good time with those games, you have to put in a lot of time. You have to really understand what a MOBA is and then find that champion that works great for you. And for me, I'm always like, I enjoy games that have a conclusion. Like, I refuse to play MMOs because it will never end. You know, I had a WoW addiction for a good 2 years, and then I just swore off of them forever. And even with the MOBAs and kind of the esports scene, like, I don't want to be that good at games, you know? I just want to enjoy games for why they're special. And you know, like an Assassin's Creed, like, the reason why I love that game is not because of the parkour mechanics or the ability to stab 16 dudes in like 30 seconds, although that's really fun. it's more the interesting story and the way they kind of weave like fiction with fact. You know, like I know my history a little bit, and like that's why I'm really excited about 3, because like I know my history of the American Revolution way better than I know anything about Italian history. So like, I'm excited to see how they weave like George Washington and, you know, the Boston Tea Party and the Boston Massacre, like all those things. Like I'm curious to see what part of real life, of real history is going to play a role in the fiction that is the, you know, Abstergo agents and the Templar and all that cool Assassin's Creed stuff.
What is something that the G1s don't know about John Hines?
Something they don't know. When I was 17, I was like the second in command, if you want to call it that, of a racing team in Dallas. We used to go street race all the time, get chased by the cops and all that fun stuff.
Any interesting stories out of that?
Oh, sure. There's tons of them, but you know, I can't share too many. I guess one of the funniest things we used to do was there's a major road, like at some points it's a 3-lane on each side, so 6 lanes across road. At the point specifically I'm talking about, it was only 2 lanes, but it intersects with a major highway. It's called Northwest Highway. And we used to line, like it had a gas station and a strip mall across the street from each other on this major intersection. So we would line the gas station and the strip mall with cars, and we would walk out into the street and block traffic, and they would race down Northwest Highway because it was, you know, just a wide road. You could fit 3 cars across and drive easily a quarter mile, like, and no traffic. Like, there was nothing that was ever going to get in your way. And so, yeah, I just remember we used to walk out in the middle of the street, block traffic, normal people doing their own thing, just be like, hey, wait a second, these 3 guys are going to race. And that was always just kind of crazy to me.
Next year, SGC is going to be coming back.
Yeah.
and you said that you were at SGC 09
mm-hmm.
back in the day. What was that experience like? Because I have yet to go to SGC.
Well, SGC, you know, if I could compare it to some other conventions, SGC is a lot more laid back. Again, I didn't necessarily have the community connections that I do now. So I think it will be, you know, for the G1 community, it's a great opportunity for these people that you spend so much time with in this digital space to come together for a weekend and get to hang out with each other in real life. But beyond that, I mean, a really great example is G1 Hybrid Rain has a ton of videos that he posted on the site of just all the stuff that happened in 09, I think. And, you know, you see things like Keith Apicary leading a conga line of G1s through the kitchen of the hotel that SGC was being held at. Or you have things like the arcade room. Like, there's not a lot of places that even support the idea of an arcade scene. And just as gamers, I think around Screw Attack, we long for the days when arcades were still, you know, in big demand. So like, we're definitely going to have an arcade room at SGC. And, you know, we'll have our third strike machine there, and hell, I'll probably just park Chad there for like 8 hours and let everybody line up and get their ass kicked by Chad in third strike, you know. But it's that kind of thing, you know. It's like us coming together, sharing what we're passionate about in gaming. And I think that because, you know, the G1s were able to hit that mark and raise as much money as we had, it's going to free up all the people that they want to hang out with to hang out all 3 days, which I know in the past hasn't been the case. Like, I know that for a lot of these guys, SGC 09 and 10, they were working most of the weekend. You know, like, they were manning cameras. They were emceeing panels. They were playing host. And the goal is because we raised as much money as we did, that doesn't have to happen. We will make sure that we have plenty of staff and plenty of people from outside of Screw Attack to make sure all those things are happening so that Craig and Chad and Jared and everybody else here can just be there to have fun, you know, and hang out with all of our community members.
Are you still going to be dressing up like Gordon Freeman?
Oh, hell yes.
Awesome.
We are working on the foam right now, because we may be making a couple other costumes. I don't know if that's confirmed yet, but so we're looking at like that, I think it's called EB foam, but it's like the stuff they use to make like the Mass Effect costumes.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm going to try and use that same material and cut it into the shapes I need for the E-suit that Gordon wears. Because too many people go as, like, the white lab coat Gordon Freeman. Like, no, I'm not having that. I'm getting the full gray and orange E-suit. And Tom the Iron Man says he's going to send me a crowbar, so that'll be cool.
Now, there's another thing that you worked on the site that I think is really important and really I found really helpful. The Screw Attack Style Guide.
Yes, the Screw Attack Style Guide. I saw a lot of the community kind of trying to come up with their own assumptions about some of these things. And, you know, a lot of those guys are pretty spot on.
Mm-hmm.
But I just thought that with us implementing the changes that we made with the whole profile system and being able to subscribe to your friends, and that was a perfect opportunity to kind of take what we had previously done, expand upon that, and, you know, try and address the things well, you know, still maintaining that sense of personality that, you know, permeates the site. So, like, you know, if you've watched some of the videos, you know, I have a little bit of silly music usually playing in the background, or, you know, like when I'm making shows, I'm making dumb shows about Craig's schistimus life story and his fall from grace. And yeah, I took the picture of when he used to play slam ball and like photoshopped it a little bit. Like, yeah, you know, it's just, it helps people that, you know, aren't familiar with our blogging tools on the site. And it's also just a good quick reference, you know, in case you forget.
All right. One more question before we end this.
No problem.
Is there anything in particular that you can talk about right now, at least, that you're working on for the future of ScrewTech?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, we took a lot of feedback from when the style guide launched and kind of just general comments and stuff we see around the site. So right now, I can tell you that we are working on a way to give users the ability to use our gallery system, which I know has been a thing that especially, like, guys out there that are, like, photographers that want to share their work, you know, sometimes they like, well, how do I, you know, use gallery? And it's like you can use Imgur or you can use Flickr, but obviously we'd like to also be able to provide you that ability. So that's being worked on. I don't have a timeline, mostly because IT probably doesn't have a timeline to tell. They don't want to put a date on something that and then miss it. But that is being worked on. So hopefully that will come to fruition sooner rather than later. And then just a lot of little stuff, which I'm trying to do a monthly kind of update. Like, we instituted a new anti-plagiarism policy because there's been some people who have been copying, pasting other writers' work from, you know, reputable websites, and I don't want anybody that does take the time to actually put news or editorial in their own words to feel like they're writing in a place that has a bad reputation. So I immediately squashed that, and moving forward, we're working on trying to tweak some of the very small things in the quality of the way news and editorial is presented on the site. So that's things like providing people the text colors for quotations, or some users might not be aware of this, but right now, whenever you write a blog on the site, the first paragraph always puts a space in the first sentence. I don't know why the tool was built that way. It drives me crazy because we never use that. And whenever I'm editing posts, I have to go back and remove that space sometimes because people, you know, you just don't know that it's doing that, but it does it. And so it's just little, like, real small things that probably only my OCD self would really notice, but all those changes are coming.
All right, Sean, once again, I'd like to thank you for your time.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
And for all of you watching at home, subscribe to this man on ScrewTech and follow him on Twitter, at Sean Hines.
You got it.
And you could follow me on Twitter, at NathanGraves989. Subscribe to me on ScrewTech, subscribe to me on YouTube. And starting now, The Nathan Graves Show will be available on iTunes. Check out the ScrewTech Style Guide. Check out Sean Hines every Monday on Screwing Around for Metroid Monday.
Oh, yeah, thank you. Yeah, Metroid Monday, definitely. I'm going to finish that game, I'm telling you. If everybody has to suffer with me, we're getting through it. We're going to make it. So, excellent. Well, thanks for having me, Nathan. I appreciate it.
It's no problem. And, yeah, check out ScrewTech.com for news.
Originals.
Trailers.
And trailers.
The best gaming website on the internet with the best community on the internet.
Damn straight.
And that'll do it for this week. Thank you all for joining me once again. And another thank you to Sean for joining me. And until next time, this is Nathan Graves 989 signing out.